You please take your Bibles tonight. Let's go over to 2 Kings chapter 21. 2 Kings chapter 21. A series we began last Wednesday evening, and we are studying for these few weeks together. We're studying the life of Josiah. Josiah, one of the kings of Judah, that the Lord prophesied would be placed in the ministry that he would be placed in. And last week we looked at the rather remarkable circumstances in which that prophecy took place. Remember that Jeroboam had built an altar. This is immediately after the dividing of Judah and Israel. Jeroboam had built an altar. It was one of the most idolatrous things that had ever been done in Israel. And he is establishing this as sort of his national religion. Jeroboam apparently is afraid that the people of Israel will want to go back into Judah to worship the Lord at Jerusalem and the other places there to glorify the Lord. And so he's trying to keep them from that. And the Lord sends a prophet, a young man from Judah, to go and to prophesy against the altar. And he says, henceforth there will be a boy, a king, who will come forth, and he will destroy this altar, and he will burn the bones of the priest upon this altar. That was 300 years before the passage that we're reading tonight. And Jeroboam, who was king, began to shout out a command and began to point toward this prophet, and the king's hand basically withered in place. And so King Jeroboam had to ask the man of God, "Would you please pray for me that the Lord would restore my arm?" And the man did, and the Lord did restore the arm of Jeroboam. Wouldn't that give you the idea that the Lord was in control of all things and you really didn't want to be disobeying the Lord? And yet, by the time we got to the end of that chapter, that was 1 Kings chapter 13, you realized Jeroboam had gone on and committed yet more iniquity. But there's more to the story. That young man had been given direct orders by the Lord: go in, preach, get out, don't drink water, don't eat, just go preach and go back to your home country. But he was deceived by an old, and we believe an old false prophet. And he said, regardless of what the Lord told you, here's what the Lord told me you ought to do. So the young man acceded. He went to the older man's house for some hospitality. And right in the midst of it, that old prophet was seized, apparently like Balaam of old, as a false prophet. And he prophesied to the man that he would not make it home, that he would be slain. Sure enough, the young man, imagine what that was like, the next morning gets up, saddles his donkey, begins to ride, and a lion comes and kills the prophet but leaves the donkey alone. And it caught everybody's attention as they were walking along that road to look over there and see a live donkey, a dead prophet, and a lion who was just sitting there. It was a really good indication that it was the Lord who was at work in the middle of all this. And the reason I raise all that for you is that's the situation in which the Lord prophesied that 300 years hence that the young king named Josiah would come. So that was quite the exclamation mark, if you will, for a prophecy to say, look at what's going to happen here. In fact, years later, and we'll see this later on in our study, when they come to Josiah is basically cleaning house, cleaning out the land, and they come to that one sepulcher. He asked, what does it say on that? And they all remembered, yeah, that's the man who actually prophesied that you would come forth. We're looking tonight at 2 Kings chapter 21. We're going to go into just a couple of verses in chapter 22. Hope you received an outline in your bulletin tonight. If you did not, if you would please raise your hand. I'll ask one of the ushers if they could get one for you, but it'll help you as you study through this tonight. 2 Kings chapter 21. Watch what it says about these kings. Go back, if you will, all the way back to verse 19 of 2 Kings 21. Ammon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. Now, the question would be about him, what was significant. His mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Heruz of Jotbah. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. So you have here a young man who is beginning to reign. He begins to reign at a very early age, Verse 19 tells you he was 22. He only reigns for 2 years. So here's a man, king of Judah, who reigns from the time he is 22 years of age to the time he's 24 years of age. What was significant about him? He did evil in the sight of the Lord. I think it was the last time that I read through the Bible that that one phrase just seemed to really jump out at me a lot. In the sight of the Lord. How does it look in the sight of the Lord? And what it tells you about him is, verse 20, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord as his father Manasseh did. Now, a question might come up in our minds. Well, you know, if that's the way his father lived, then, you know, doesn't that give him at least a little bit of an excuse? I mean, come on. I mean, he didn't really have a very good testimony from his father, or his father walked in very evil ways. We'll come back and address that in just a minute to be sure that we all understand what the biblical issues are in that. It says in verse 21, and he walked in all the way that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him, and slew the king in his own house. That's why he only reigned 2 years. And the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Now, the rest of the acts of Ammon, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And he was buried in his sepulcher in the garden of Uzzah. And Josiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Now let's read about Josiah here in 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. So we pause together to pray just for a few moments. Father, I pray now that you would establish and settle our hearts upon the Word of God. In all the noise generated by this world and all the foment and noise of our own hearts, I pray this evening that you would help us to settle down and to relax and to concentrate upon the Word of God, in order, Lord, that we might, in the words of the Lord Jesus, take his yoke upon us and learn of him and learn what it means to be meek and lowly in heart. I pray that as we seek tonight for instruction in righteousness, how to keep on keeping on doing right, that you would help us to learn from the testimony of Josiah. Father, we know that behind all of this is your wonderful, precious hand, your powerful hand of grace. Father, we are asking this evening that you would help us to see not only how your grace could transform our lives, but how it could transform the lives of our children. Lord, give us a new vision, I pray, this evening as we cast a vision for a children's ministry, even from this passage. Father, I just pray that you would be exalted as we seek after you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would take your study sheet there, you will notice a few important points about Josiah. His name apparently means that Yahweh gives or Yahweh cures, perhaps Yahweh brings forth. His father, as we saw a few moments ago, is Ammon, king of Judah. This is about 642 to 640 B.C. There'd be a couple scholars who would say it would be 2 years one way or the other year, but that's about the time. That's important because, remember, in 586 B.C., so basically you take 86, add 14 to it, you're looking at about 54 years away from the time of the Babylonian captivity would come. Ammon. Now, it's interesting to note about Ammon that his name comes from the Egyptian god Amun. And that tells you something. If he is named that way, it tells you something about his family. We've already seen something about Manasseh and all the evil that he did. But Ammon also walked in that way. You say, well, if you have a name like that, doesn't it kind of just, you know, bring that pressure upon you? All you have to do is think about Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all the names that they were given. And you remember pretty quickly that it doesn't matter what everybody else tries to name you. It really is all about the Lord and following Him. Josiah's mother was Jedidah. We don't know much about her. It just says she was the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And that's really what we know. But look at a little some of these facts here about Ammon's reign. He began to reign as the king of Judah when he was 22 years of age, as we read a few moments ago. He reigned in Jerusalem for only 2 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the way of his idolatrous father, Manasseh. Now, just kind of put this in your mind and just kind of think through this just for a second. If Josiah is 8 years of age when he begins to reign, then and his father was 22 years of age when he began to reign, you realize pretty quickly that Josiah's father was a teenager. He was a teenager in the house of his father, Manasseh, and Josiah is born in that circumstance. We learn that he walked in the way of his idolatrous father, Manasseh. He worshipped and served his father's idols. Scripture is very explicit here. It doesn't just merely say that he walked in the way of evil. It actually goes on to say that he really did walk in the way of his father's idols and worshipped them. He abandoned the Lord God. We read it just a moment ago. He abandoned the Lord God of his fathers. He would not walk in the way. And so what happened? We don't know if it's a consequence. We don't know exactly what happened with the conspiracy, but the servants of King Ammon conspired against him and killed him. So he begins to reign at 22, and before he is 24, about the time he's 24 years of age, his servants kill him. And the people of the nation then, apparently in anger against this conspiracy, they rose up to kill those conspirators. So here's the question I'd like to raise for you tonight. You know, here's a young boy, and he is 8 years old. He is in a situation where the kingdom is in an uproar. His own father was named after an Egyptian god. His grandfather was notorious, infamous, certainly in the sight of the Lord, apparently in the community as well, for his worship of idols and idolatry. And then the servants rise up to kill Ammon after 2 years, and then the community of people rise up to kill the conspirators, and then Josiah becomes the king. And I don't know about you, but I'll just ask the question here. What chance do you think he has? You know, a fat chance might be one of the first things that come to your mind. I mean, how is it even possible for this to happen? This is why it's important for you and me to study the life of Josiah, because we can see something here about God's remarkable grace. No matter what age we are at here this evening, I think the story has something to say to us. It tells us something about our children, our grandchildren. It raises the question for all of us, the potential that there could be in our children to serve the Lord. But let me kind of tighten this down a little bit more, shall we? Do you think this nation is under the judgment of God? Yes or no? Do you think this nation is under the judgment of God? Yes or no? It's pretty plain, isn't it, that unless something happens, this nation will rather quickly go the way that so many other nations have gone. There would be some who would say, it's too late. I think I can demonstrate to you before you get to the end of the Josiah study, that's not necessarily the case. Not necessarily. It doesn't have to be that way. But this is fascinating, because here you have a time when you and I can look ahead and know that Israel is going to be judged, Babylonian exile. And there's a time in here when they are under God's judgment and they are going to go into exile, The prophets have already hinted at this before. 13 years into Josiah's reign, the prophet Jeremiah will begin to serve the Lord, and he will make it very plain that they are going into Babylonian captivity. And so when that kind of atmosphere is around you, the idolatry of grandparents, the idolatry of your own father who walks in evil and follows the way of wickedness, and the whole country is headed for judgment. Wouldn't it be really easy in a situation like that to say, oh, well, hey, might as well just kind of, you know, relax and let her slide because, you know, it's all going down the drain anyway. What flies in the face of that kind of thinking is the life of Josiah. And it tells you something that you and I ought to pay attention to, not only for our own lives, but also for our children. Hold your place there in 2 Kings chapter 21 just for a moment and turn over with me to a very helpful passage over in Psalm 78 just for a moment. Psalm 78. When you look at Psalm 78, you really see one of those biblical rationales for youth ministry, a passage I used to love to refer to frequently when I was a minister to young people and to families. Look what it says in Psalm 78 and verse 4. We will not hide from them. What's he speaking of here? We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Showing to the generation to come. Now, you and I have to ask the question this evening. It's one that we ought to come back and frequently think about, and that would be, what was Daniel's father like? It could be that Daniel's father was very much like Josiah's father. Could be. On the other hand, it could be that he was a sterling example and a wonderful example to Josiah. Well, you see, this really helps us kind of get right down to the point, because you and I might look at young people, we might look at children, teens, those in college and career, and say, well, you know, they're just not like they used to be. I mean, they're not like we were in our generation. And you know, they're all caught up in these kind of things. Okay? You might have questions about the generation to come, but I would like to ask you tonight the question behind the question. Here's the question behind the question. The question behind the question is, will you and I be an example to them, be an exhorter to them in the way that they ought to walk? Rather than reacting to them, reacting against them, the question behind the question is, will we be what we want them to become? And so, as I say, it really is helpful to us, but what gives us the courage to do this is examples like Josiah. You look at Josiah and you say, the kid never had a chance. I mean, if you had read about Josiah, and he also walked in the way of evil and walked in the way of his fathers, and you say, yeah, man, I mean, there it goes. I mean, it's just the way it is. But the fact is, that's not the way it was. And it tells you, dear friends, something about the grace of God that's available to you and me moment by moment. If we would humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he gives grace to the humble. What does he do to the proud? He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so it's helpful for you and me to just stop to think about that. Now, while we're turned away here just for a moment from 2 Kings chapter 21, go over to the other passage in Scripture that really lays this out for you. Go over to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18 may be the clearest passage in the Scripture to really help us with this. And let me just kind of lay it out for you so you can study it on your own sometime. Ezekiel chapter 18, after an initial part about a strange proverb I'll tell you about in just a moment and about something the Lord says, tells us about a very righteous man. And it tells you about that righteous man that he has a very unrighteous son. And so the question would be, well, was there some defect in that righteous man? Was there something about him that his son saw and said, you hypocrite, and you know, I want nothing to do with you. And so he went in the wrong direction. But then the story goes on in Ezekiel chapter 18, not only to tell you about a righteous father and his unrighteous son, he goes on to tell you about his righteous grandson. The righteous grandson who looks at the sins of his father and says, I'm not going that direction. I will not go after that way. And he turns and trusts in the amazing power of the Lord. Now, how is that possible? Here's how it's possible. Look at Ezekiel chapter 18. Look at verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, what mean ye that use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Now, the proverb was, if people had eaten these sour grapes, you know how when you get lemons or kind of sour or something in your mouth, like, good, and you just kind of struggle with what it does in your mouth. It says, well, the fathers have eaten the sour grapes, but it's the children's teeth that are set on edge. Now, what that is implying is there's some sort of organic connection, and especially with reference to sin. How do we say it in English, our English idiom? The apple doesn't fall what? Very far from the tree. The apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. And what the Lord is doing is he's addressing that, because look what he says in Ezekiel 18, verse 3. As I live, saith the Lord God, you shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Okay, Lord, why not? Now watch what he does in verse 4. He says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Let me show you what the Lord's doing here. He is making a direct connection between every individual soul and himself. It's not indirect. It's not that you have to go through your father to worship the Lord, through your mother to worship the Lord. No. What he's doing is he's drawing a direct connection. There is an immediate accountability, an immediate responsibility between every single soul and his father. Every once in a while, you'll meet a young person who says, well, the reason I have all these problems is, you know, because my parents have all these problems. And in essence, what they're trying to do is trying to say, you know, I want mom and dad to give me a guilt credit card, and I want to charge off all my guilt to them. I can't be responsible because all the things happened in my home or all the things that happened here. I can't be responsible, so I get to use the guilt credit card and charge it off to everybody else. And you and I know perfectly well that is not true. You will, though, meet parents who kind of think that it is true. I mean, you're still living in a time when they just feel as guilty as they can be. They've taken responsibility for every single unwise choice that child has ever made. And it's wrong, folks. It's absolutely wrong. And you can demonstrate that from Ezekiel chapter 18. Now, as you go back with me then over to 2 Kings, notice here just a few more notes that I laid out for you in your study there about what's happening here. Josiah was the king of Judah after that rather remarkable, stunning prophecy and all the events there, and then the uproar in which he became king. Josiah, king of Judah, had been prophesied 300 years before, according to 1 Kings 13. Josiah was only 8 years old when he began to reign as the king of Judah, and he became the king about 54 years before the Babylonian captivity, when Israel went into exile. As I noted a few moments ago, the Lord called Jeremiah to begin his prophetic ministry in the 13th year of Josiah's reign. Now, everything I said so far was introduction, so here comes the message. We're going to look at just the two verses there in 2 Kings chapter 22. Let's look at them one more time. 2 Kings chapter 22, and beginning with verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. I have tried to remember this, And as clearly as I can remember, the first verse that I ever learned to memorize from the Bible, and I, excuse me, certainly the one that made the biggest impact on me, but I suspect it's the first one I ever memorized, is one I listed for you tonight in your worship guide there from Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. Look what it says. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. I distinctly remember the Lord using that verse in my life as a very small child, and the reality of it began to settle in on me that I could be an offense against a holy God, that there could be things in my life which were displeasing to the Lord, that there really is a standard for right and wrong. You see here in the life of Josiah, I made for you, this is on the back side of your sheet, there are two crucial observations from Josiah's boyhood. As I noted a few moments ago and listed out for you there in Ezekiel chapter 18, just because our fathers have sinned, this does not mean that we are predestined or forced to repeat those sins. We're not predestined. It's not organic. You don't have to do that. Predisposed? Sure, you could see that. You could see how that a child could learn from the habits of his parents. How did his parents deal with stress? When there was stress in the home, you know, what did they do? Did they yell? Did they scream? Did they clam up? Did they abuse substances? Did they turn on the TV? Did they turn to comfort food? What did they do? And you can see how a child could learn very early to sort of mimic those things. But the fact is, we are not forced to repeat those sins. And I think that's one of the things that's coming out in Ezekiel 18, verse 4, is all souls are mine as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Manasseh and Ammon chose to do evil in the sight of the Lord, but Josiah did not choose this path. And as I said, this kind of teaching is explained in Ezekiel 18. This leads us to the second crucial observation. And that is this, even a child can do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. And diligently, I include the word diligently here because the text says he didn't turn to the right hand and he didn't turn to the left hand. He diligently follow the excellent examples that God has given us. Let me read that one more time. Even a child can do that which is right in the sight of the Lord and diligently follow the excellent examples that God has given us. Folks, what you're looking at is one of the reasons we believe so strongly in Christian education. It's one of the reasons we have Heritage Christian School. Because what we want to do is we want to put the examples out in front of these young people and help them to clearly understand the way the Lord is at work. Now look, if you will, again at verse 2 of 2 Kings chapter 22, and let's see if we can draw this down to a fine point. He, Josiah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. See, there are a lot of opinions out there. There's a lot of people tell you, well, I think this is right, I think this is right. You remember in Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But here's what Josiah did. Josiah looked to the Lord, who is the standard of right and wrong, and he did that. And he didn't just desire that. He did it. He put it into practice. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. When you and I stop to think about all the Scripture teaches us about the Lord who is coming, the judgment, how he will come bringing his holy ones with him, as we learn in the book of Jude, to bring judgment upon all the ungodly. You see here a remarkable testimony that here's a kid, if you will. Here's a child. Here's a boy king. And you could say about him, he didn't have a chance. I mean, there was just no way. And yet, by the amazing transforming grace of God, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Don't give up on the children. don't say that they are little crumb crunchers, in the words of Rush Limbaugh, a little, you know, just to be kind of set aside and just never going to amount to anything. Boy, if you really believe that, then you probably need to read ahead in the Josiah study and realize the amazing things that that young man was able to accomplish in a nation which was under the judgment of God. And the Lord even told him that the nation was going to be judged, not because of his sin, but because of his ancestors' sin. That the momentum, the inertia, if you will, was already in place. But yet he made a difference for God in a nation that was under God's judgment. That was true of Josiah. That could be true of us, dear friends. You and I could be the same way. Even a child can do that which is right in the sight of the Lord and diligently follow the excellent examples that God has given us. Each child must be taught diligence to concentrate, to turn away from distractions. There are a remarkable number of distractions today. I was talking to a pastor the other day. We went to speak at a conference, and he said, I have to turn my email all the way off while I'm studying. I thought, boy, that is a really good idea. When you're studying, I mean, you're distracted. You're over here, and you're on Facebook and social media and thinking about all kinds of other things. I mean, the amount of distractibility that is going on right now in our lives. Here's a young man who diligently followed the Lord. He concentrated. In fact, it says about him, look again at verse 2, he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David, his father, his great, great, great. You have to add up the number of greats here to get to David, his father. But you know what he's doing here? He's following an example, a God-given example. Wait, was David perfect? Oh, no. Far, far from it. Far from perfect. And yet, he's following that which is admirable. In the ways that David followed the Lord, Josiah is following the Lord. As David, in the ways that David had followed the Lord, he followed the Lord with diligence. So each child could benefit from the stories of the Bible with special emphasis on the examples God has given us. I'd like tonight to salute those of you who work with our children, those of you who have devoted your lives, and perhaps you do it at Heritage Christian School, or you do it in Children's Church, or you do it in Frontline Ministries going on, or in Sunday School. And for the rest of us, the opportunity, not only in our own homes, but in the opportunities we have here at Calvary Baptist Church to invest in children, always with the idea of holding up a biblical example. You say, is this child really going to learn anything from what I'm teaching here about David? Yes, he really is. Josiah, even in an idolatrous society, learned something about David. Recently, I gave a message on Enoch. I'll come back at some point and give a message here. But I was telling those present, I still remember the flannel graph story where my teacher was describing Enoch. And I can still see her taking it off the board. And he was not, for God took him. And I still remember thinking, wow, think about what that means. The biblical examples put before us. So this evening, may I make an appeal? May I make an appeal that you and I would, in the words of James 4:8, draw near to God. The biblical promise we have is this: draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. There is something in the Josiah story for all of us, especially as we ask, what kind of example am I to the next generation? Do I see the potential of the next generation? Do I see what the Lord could accomplish through an 8-year-old who truly begins to understand what it means to do right in the sight of the Lord, to follow the example of his father David, and not to turn to the right hand or the left hand, to diligently follow the Lord? Could we be like Josiah? And for the Josiahs among us, could we motivate them and stir them up to new, zealous obedience for the Lord? Shall we pray together? Father, I thank you and praise you so much for the historic commitment that Calvary Baptist Church has had to children. And Lord, tonight I ask that you would stir us up once again about the new generation of children and of teens. And as we study the life of Josiah, we see what even happened in his teen years and even in his years that we would think of as the college and career age. Lord, I just pray that you would help all of us to be motivated to stir each other up and to declare to the generation to come the praises of our God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.